Edutainment Learning is powered by Academica Virtual Education and Collegia TV. For more information, visit www.edutainmentlearning.com.
Happy to be here, Ralph. Thank you for this opportunity. So Ricardo Villalobos and I currently serve as the Chief Programs Officer for Workforce Connections, which is Southern Nevada's local workforce development board. And so, Ralph, the way I started in this journey was I discovered my passion to work with young adults probably while I was in grad school. And so, you know, I was in that place where I was really trying to sort out and figure out what is it that I want to do when I grow up, you know, and not just necessarily wanting to get a job, but what career do I want to be in that's going to make impact? And so I decided to pursue a graduate degree in student development. And I think that's where I really discovered my passion, my calling. Long story short, that was in San Diego. I had an opportunity here in Las Vegas to move here to work with a program called Youth Build, which is a vocational and educational training program for young adults, 16 to 24, and did that, fell in love with it. And, you know, some great things were happening in that program. My boss at the time had said, Ricardo, we'd like to get you to oversee all our, you know, youth programs. And at that time, I loved Youth Build so much, Ralph, that I had told him, I don't know, because that meant, you know, responsibilities and paperwork and things of that nature. So I was like, I don't know. I love working with young men and women. You know, there's so much passion, so much, so many dreams, right? So much fire in their bones, so much excitement about life. And I really enjoyed that. And he asked me a question, Ralph, that changed the trajectory of my life. As far as professionally, he said, Ricardo, do you want to impact hundreds or do you want to impact thousands? And I thought with everything that I have received in my lifetime, you know, my education, my professional experiences, how I'm wired and the passions that I have, it was a no-brainer, Ralph, for me. And so I said, absolutely. And so with that, I had an opportunity to take on a youth director role for our organization, which went from impacting about 100 a year to over 1,000 young men and women a year. And then that went really well. And so he eventually asked me to oversee our adult programs, and which, you know, we help about 2,000 people a year. So, you know, roughly anywhere from 3,000 on average people that we help a year. And what came to mind when that, you know, opportunity presented itself, Ralph, was the same thing. You know, do I want to impact, you know, 1,000 or, you know, thousands with the plural, right? And again, I just believed with everything that I've been given, I really believe that was my opportunity to serve my community. I'm from Las Vegas, born and raised here, and wanted to make as much impact in my community as I possibly could. So that's my journey, Ralph.
That's good journey. And, you know, thank you for your tireless work. I know it can't be easy, but we're going to bounce around. We do have some questions from the kids that were sent to me. Great. That have to do with your education. But we're going to start with one of the kids wanted to know, what does your day-to-day look like as the chief programs officer? Like, what do you go through there?
Great question, Ralph. Thank that student for presenting such a challenging question. I wish it was very routine. And I can say, I do this at this time, and then I move on to do this at that time. It varies, Ralph. I supervise 8 people, you know, that I work with. I like to say work with, not that they work for me. I work with them. And so I oversee about $30 million in contracts that we allocate to different funded partners in our community to provide employment and training services. That's the core of our organization. And so day to day, again, I'm having meetings, you know, a lot of meetings discussing how things are going in these contracts. I look at data, you know, to give us a story with numbers, a quantitative perspective about How are things going? You know, what do the numbers say? However, numbers don't always tell the full story. And so we take time to meet with people who are providing services to, you know, other human beings in employment and in the employment and training space. So we meet with them, talk about how things are going, and a lot of conversations, a lot of, you know, looking into what's happening and what's going great and how can we continue to make it even better. I like to say there's good, there's great, and there's phenomenal. And we always aspire to being phenomenal with the work that we do for other people. And so there's meetings in that space. I look at data in that space. There's a lot of problem solving, you know, a lot of issues that come up that we have to figure out, you know, if this, if, you know, again, I don't know how much into the weeds to get, Ralph. You know, I don't want to bore the students,
You're not.
but
This is perfect stuff. You're good. Go ahead.
Thank you, Ralph. And so we, you know, I look at a lot of policy, you know, a lot of, we assess procedures to see are they effective and are they efficient. So reviewing, revising policy, coming up with policy for the work that we do. I get a, the fun stuff for me is when I get in meetings with young adults, you know, and ask them how things are going and hear their journey. Ralph, some of the stories we hear are phenomenal. I mean, these are individuals who've been in foster care and have aged out and have had nowhere to go, end up homeless. These are individuals who, you know, for whatever reasons got caught up in the juvenile justice system, right? Maybe made some, you know, just I think at some point or another, we all may make bad decisions. Some of us just get caught for them, right? And some of these young men come out of the juvenile justice system trying to figure out what to do with their lives so that they don't end up, you know, back in the juvenile system. And so we help them develop career pathways, help them figure out what training they need to fulfill their their dream job, you know, not just a job. And sometimes that's where you have to start, right? You have to start maybe at an entry level job, but we help them figure out how do you get from, you know, an entry level job to your dream job in that field. And again, we do a lot of things to help them figure out what their dream job is. And I always like to tell them, it's okay if you don't know right now. You know, my career has changed over time. So a lot of conversations, a lot of meetings. So we have a board of directors that, you know, about 25 people who represent businesses and then the public sector. So a lot of meetings with them, sometimes individuals, sometimes a big group. We also have what we call Local Elected Officials Consortium. That's county commissioners and councilmen and women, so council members that we meet with to make sure that we're aligned with what their vision is for their particular areas, because we cover all of Southern Nevada. So Clark County, Lincoln, Nyah, Esmeralda. So pretty much anything and everything that has to do with the public workforce development system, I'm involved in. So I'll pause there, Ralph.
No, you're good. That was great. I wanted to ask kind of a follow-up question. There's a couple of follow-up questions I wanted to go from there. Like, what are like some of the key challenges that you guys are faced with in this day and age when it comes to workforce development?
Great question, Ralph. So I would say, again, I can tell you specifically to Southern Nevada, and I think it's not necessarily unique here, but again, it varies state to state, region to region. I think the challenge that we face here, Ralph, is in Southern Nevada, particularly, let's say Clark County, even more specifically, I've heard anywhere from 60 to 80,000 job openings. And so being able to fill those jobs with individuals that are trained, ready, and qualified to do the job is what we do in our organization. So I think being able to fill jobs with qualified individuals, and that means having certain skill sets. In some cases, that means having certain certifications. In some cases, it doesn't necessarily mean having a college degree. You know, I like to say it's really an emphasis on skills. And I think we're moving towards across the country more towards a skills-based economy than it is to have a college degree economy, if that makes any sense, Ralph. And I can follow up on that if you'd like. Our challenge is filling the jobs. Ralph, I'll mention this as well. In Southern Nevada, we have what I like to refer to as opportunity youth. But the story behind that is we have over 40,000 young men and women who are not in any type of post-secondary activity. And I say activity instead of education because sometimes that activity can be pursuing an industry-recognized credential. So it could be post-secondary activity after high school. And they're not in work. So we have over 40,000 young men and women between ages 16 to 24 that are trying to figure out what to do with their lives. And our challenge is how do we reach them? Not just our organization, but together as a community, come together, leverage all our resources, have the conversations to say, this is what we're good at, this is what you're good at, this is what we'll do. This is what you'll do. And really coming together as a collaborative community to help, number one, find those young men and women and help those young men and women get connected to life after high school. And so our challenge is, how do we, Ralph, I'm 52 years old, so I don't think like the younger generation does. I think they're a lot smarter than I was. I think they're a lot brighter than I was. I think they're a lot more in touch with what they want to do when they grow up for the most part. And I think is the challenge is how do we connect them, right, to all these job opportunities and these opportunity youth that are disconnected and build that bridge so that again, we're not just getting young men and women jobs, Ralph, but we're really helping launch them into careers. Well, they'll maybe start in a certain position and then just upskill and elevate themselves in their professional journey. That's a big challenge for us. I think number two is just making sure that we are in touch with what the emerging industries are in Southern Nevada. And so I'll give you an example. Our fastest growing sectors here in Southern Nevada are manufacturing, healthcare, and information technology and communications. When you think of Las Vegas, you think of the hotels, the casinos. People think that's all of Las Vegas. Vegas is beautiful. There's beautiful mountains, national park here, Red Rock. We have a lake. We have, mountain that gets snow. People don't think that snows in Las Vegas, but it does. Beautiful community. But we've had these new industries here, and I think sometimes the younger generation isn't so much aware of the opportunities in these industries. And again, when you think of IT, that doesn't mean just computers, but that means or in a computer, company, Ralph, that you can do IT in healthcare, you can do IT in manufacturing, right? IT needs manufacturing, IT needs healthcare. And so there's all this synergy between these industries. And I think it's just our challenge is how do we promote these industries and the opportunities within these industries and what's offered in these industries for these young men and women that are, figuring out what they want to do with life after high school.
Yeah, and I think to add to that point, I mean, when I was in high school, it was just, go to college, go to college, go to college.
Right.
And no explanation as to like what to do after. You'll figure it out in those 4 years. And I think I read it was the Nevada Department of Labor. I think only like 23% of jobs require a degree or something like that.
Yeah,
Is
so it sounds about right. I think it's a little more,
okay.
Ralph, you're absolutely right, Ralph, and that's what I mean by a skills-based economy. I think personally that this message that every young man and woman needs to go to college is wrong, and I'll tell you why, Ralph. Because I think sometimes people feel like they're less than if they don't go to college. But I have many friends that got their college degree and are not working in their field. And again, I'm not undermining a college education, right,
Yeah,
Ralph?
no, you're, yeah, I get that. Yeah, it's just reality, though,
It is, Ralph. Yeah, it totally is. I got my PhD, right?
Yeah,
And
you're a
so big,
doctor.
yeah. So big believer in education. So I want to emphasize that I'm a big believer in education. I just like to say, if that's your pathway, go for it. You know, if it's not, that's fine. That's okay. You're still awesome, right? And I always like to tell young men and women that I, engage with and interact with, find your passion, get in touch with what makes you, gives you energy and makes you come alive, and figure out what pathway you need to take for that. Sometimes it's a skills certificate. Sometimes it's an industry recognized certificate. Sometimes it's micro credentials. Sometimes it is a 2A, an associate's, degree. Sometimes it is a 4-year degree, traditional degree. Sometimes it might be a graduate degree. Sometimes it might be a PhD, Ralph. But I would say, figure out what you want to do, and then start to explore the pathway that's going to get you there. And I, number one thing I want to communicate to you, Ralph, though, is what's most important from the work that I do is that young men and women pursue skills. Get a skill, because the skills are going to make you marketable. The skills are going to make you competitive. Again, I really do believe we're moving more towards a skills economy, because employers that we work with are more concerned with, do you have the skills versus do you have the certificates? And so I'll pause there, Ralph, because I can keep going on that for a long
No, I
time.
mean, you're clearly an expert in this field. We'll go with a couple more student questions, then we'll let you
Great.
go. But I wanted to ask this. I know you probably have a few of these. What is like one of your most proud moments that sticks out? Because I know that you've changed a lot of lives in your role.
Man, Ralph, that is an awesome question. These are some really bright students. Whoever they are, kudos to them. Super bright. One of my proudest professional questions, just to have context, is what you're asking, correct?
Correct. Your proudest professional moment. I mean, obviously, as a father, I'm a father too. We have our, you know, our kids and all that kind of stuff. But like, professionally, something that sticks out where you know you changed somebody's life.
Ralph, when I was doing the Youth Build program that I referred to earlier, this I did about 15 years ago. I often will bump into one of those individuals that may have been, I'll just, out of the juvenile system, that may
Yeah.
have been a foster care, that may have been homeless, right? And I'll bump into them, and they'll see me, because we've served hundreds of students in that program. I might not recognize them, unfortunately. I don't remember hundreds of names, but they'll come up to me. I had one young man come up to me in the gym, and he said, "Mr. Ricardo, do you remember me?" And I looked at him and I said, "Angel, I totally remember you." Him, I remembered. And he said, "Ricardo, if it weren't for getting the training that I received, the education that I received, I wouldn't have been the foreman that I'm now, that I now am in the company I'm at. And so I just want to thank you." And Ralph, it's those moments, and I can tell you multiple moments. We had a board meeting the other day, and we had young men and women, we had older, adults come and share their background and share their story. That's what I'm proud of, is that the work we do literally impacts lives, Ralph. It impacts families, it impacts communities. One story was a gentleman just got out of prison after having spent 11 years there. And in 1 year, he shared that he received a $10 per hour raise, just having been out of prison a year before. So, story after story like that, Ralph, is what I'm proud of. That the work I do here in the office makes that kind of impact. That's what I'm proud of, Ralph.
It's amazing. That reminds me of that Mark Twain quote, the two most important days, the day you're born and the day you find out why.
Yeah,
So I always
awesome
ask
quote.
this final question of all of our guests, and I'll ask this of you. So Dr. Villalobos, like what kind of advice would you have for these kids as they go off into the world and figure out what kind of path they want to pursue?
Yeah, man, that's the right question for a guy like me, right? Ralph, I would say a few things. I'm gonna label this as do career exploration. It's okay if you don't know what you want to do. If you do, great, go for it. Go get into it, go test it. You might fall in love with it and realize that's your passion, that's your calling. Go kick butt in it, right? Sometimes you don't know what you want to do. And I like to tell those young people, that's totally okay. Go explore. Go do some career exploration. What does that mean? Talk to people in the field, research the field, see if you have, what your parents or your aunts, your uncles, or whoever's in your sphere, ask them if they know people in the field that you can get connected with. I really believe that as employers, we are interested in the next generation's interest in our industry. And so when we see young men and women being, assertive, being interested, asking the questions like the ones that your students are asking, Ralph, that's a game changer. We want to know that the next generation is interested. So number one, I'd say do career exploration. If you think you like this, go check it out. If you think you like that, go check it out. If there's eight different things you think you might be good at or that you might be interested in, go check it out. Get connected in some way or another to it. I would also say the second thing, Ralph, is do career assessments. There's free ones that are online, and you can just do a Google search for a free career assessment. And why I say that is because sometimes, like myself, when I was young, I didn't know. I thought I had ideas, but being able to do career assessments started to generate ideas, started to go, oh, I didn't think about that. And because it's going to say, do you like this? Do you like working outdoors? Do you like working in an office? Oh, I like working in an office because it's too hot in Las Vegas, right? And then it starts to kind of break down different scenarios in this assessment, and then it leads you to the end where it says professional careers you might be interested in, and it gives you a list. And I was like, cool, I never thought of that, but that sounds pretty cool. So I would say career assessments. I would say also, again, I know sometimes, it's an age thing, but when you can, go get a work experience somewhere. Go test something out. And employers, are willing and are open. So when you can go get a work experience and get into the field of interest, even though it might be, again, if they're in school, it might be a summer thing, it might be a weekend thing, but go check it out to see if it's something you want to eventually pursue. Talk to people in your field of interest, find them, talk to them. If you can secure a mentor in that field so that you could ask them questions and you feel comfortable and safe to ask them, the questions that are all over the map, go for it. Ralph, the last thing I'll mention, because a lot of our young men and women across the country don't know, but there, and this is the space I'm in, there's what's called American Job Centers. And these are, the national brand across the country, American Job Centers, where young men and women and their family members can go into and do these type of things and meet with career coaches and have the conversations to start generating some of their ideas and to help them figure out pathways. A lot of logistics and nuances, but nonetheless, get in touch with where your American Job Center is and see what they can do for you. So those are a few things, Ralph, that come to mind immediately.
That's solid advice. Well, we can't thank you enough for taking the time to speak with us today for this interview, and we'll have it shared out along with an accompanying student assignment, and we'll also have information about how people can visit Workforce Connections and how they can get in touch, and we appreciate you greatly, sir.
Yeah. Ralph, appreciate you. Appreciate the students. The students, y'all are awesome. Go live and do your dream. So, Ralph, thank you for the work you do. Appreciate you, man.